Welcome to This is Richardson, telling the stories of Richardson, Texas, people and places, past and present.
Suzanne Scott is one of our Sunday school teachers, and she and her husband John are also two of our parenting mentors. They have two grown daughters, and Jason and I are always looking for people one step ahead of us to help guide us as we raise our own three daughters. This is Suzanne and John's sweet story of their family, their work, and their connection with the city of Richardson. I hope you enjoy our conversation.
Okay, so John and I have been married since 1991, so coming up on 33 years. We married in a church in Richardson, but we moved here earlier. I grew up in Colorado and graduated from Colorado State University in Fort Collins and just got a job fresh out of college that brought me to Texas. And then I landed in First Baptist Richardson, and that's eventually met John through this church. And we married here and had two girls, and they are both grown and gone. Rachel, our oldest, is in California working for Google, and Emily, our youngest, is married and in Houston and working in the medical field.
Yeah, and my family moved here back in 1970. We had lived in, I was actually born in Dallas, but then when I was really young, we moved to North Carolina for about 3 years and then Missouri for about 2 years and then came back here in 1970. And so then I grew up in this area. I actually grew up in Dallas proper. I went to three Richardson ISD schools, you know, Stultz Road Elementary, Forest Meadow Junior High, and Lake Islands High School. But when we had first moved here, we actually did live off Mary Lou Street, right here near Richardson Drive and Arapahoe, and lived there for about 3 months. And then my family decided to start attending First Baptist Church Richardson. And so for the past 51 years, that's pretty much I've been a member of this church also. So that's how it's been.
Well, and now, Suzanne, you mentioned your job. You worked for Texas Instruments. Am I remembering that right?
Right. That's what brought me here.
Okay.
So I was in Colorado, and they just happened to send recruiters to campus. I think it was people who had graduated from CSU and were hired on at TI, and they came back to their alma mater to recruit and did some interviewing on campus, and I interviewed and ended up getting an offer there, and also won an offer for TI here in Dallas. And also a job offer in Wichita, Kansas. And I decided I'd rather go to Dallas than Wichita, Kansas. So ended up here. And my original thought was, oh, I'll just go to Dallas for a few years. And then I could go back to Colorado because I really love Colorado. But next thing I knew, I was plugged in and had friends. And then 30-some years, a husband and two kids later, I'm still here. So I never left.
Well, and I don't know actually if Texas Instruments is in Richardson proper or if it's actually in the Dallas city limits, but I feel like it's a bit of a Richardson landmark. And, you know, the whole telecom corridor and UT Dallas, even, you know, the founders of TI started it. And so, when you worked there, did it feel like it had a connection to Richardson? And it's okay if the answer's no. I was just curious.
I think TI did. Yeah, you're right about the UTD connection. Mm-hmm. Definitely there. And they built their newest fab in Richardson. I never worked in that building, mm-hmm. but it's near George Bush and Renner, kind of nestled between George Bush and Renner off of Alma. So that's like their state-of-the-art. Newest building for TI, and it's in Richardson. But the buildings I was in, one was up at Spring Creek in 75 in Plano, mm-hmm. and then the main campus is down near the High Five, which is Dallas, barely Dallas. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's kind of in and around Richardson, but it's kind of, TI is big. It's all over the world.
Yeah, it's always neat to see it. Like when you drive in on that part of the interstate and you see it, you kind of come around the corner and there it is. And then Richardson is just next.
Right there.
Yes.
Yeah, it's right nestled in there. I did work at RealPage. That was my second career.
Okay.
And they actually are in Richardson.
Oh, okay.
It used to be a Nortel building mm-hmm. on the east side of 75, long building. And then I guess Nortel either went out of business or left or something. And RealPage took it over. Although now they don't use the building too much because once COVID happened, we figured out we could do the job remotely, most of us. So I'm not sure what they're doing with the building now.
It's still got the really
logo.
Long one. And it's right off the interstate too,
right? Right on the interstate,
so
yeah.
Were there anything, like any restaurants and things like that around it where y'all could walk? Or was it not really that kind of development?
We didn't walk, but there was Mina's. Tex-Mex was mm-hmm. kind of just
line,
down
yeah.
the street.
Okay.
At East Side. Yeah,
on the East Side.
East by Campbell and on the East Side of Campbell.
Yeah, the East Side of Campbell.
That is one thing I feel like we have stayed very much in this, like, maybe like a 5-mile radius of this little area of Richardson. We have just not branched out in the rest of the city too much. And so that's something that I really do want to do. Because, yeah, when I do have to drive to other parts, I'm like, well, there are some really cool things over here, you know, and go check out other areas of the city because we have not really been great about exploring beyond this little section. Get kind of stuck, you know.
One nice thing about Richardson, this is going to sound kind of odd, but it's just centrally located to every other city.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever else you might want to go, if you're in Richardson, it's really not that far.
Yeah, that's
true. Dallas or to Plano or to Addison or, you know, mm-hmm. wherever you might need to go. So it's kind of a nice central location.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And and we have good friends in Rockwall. And so you just jump right on, can easily get on the turnpike from here and everything. Yeah. Okay. So you spoke a little bit about it, but just kind of tell us what brought you to this church in particular and really what has kept you committed to it, even though you've maybe worked and lived in Plano and other cities, but what has it been about this church in Richardson that makes it special?
We came two different ways, so.
True. I mean, I did, for all intents and purposes, grow up here. And I guess doing the math, it was actually 53 out of the past 54 years I've been a member of this church. But my family came here, and then growing up, it evolved to where we had a really strong youth group at our church. And so that kept me very plugged and tied into the church community that we developed. And that's a youth group for which I still have many friends still today, that we've remained close together. And it was very, a very, very good dynamic time and experience. And so, and then coming back here, Suzanne actually can tell why she came here. But then when she and I got married, we married in this church. And so I'll let her carry on from there.
Yeah. So I came with a job offer from TI. That's what brought me here. And a friend of mine back in Colorado somehow knew of this church.
Hmm.
And he told me about it. And he's like, you need to go check out this church when you get there. And I did. And I've liked what I found. And I have never left. And it's interesting because I was talking to Emily, our youngest daughter. They were trying to decide about a church in Houston to get plugged into.
Hmm.
And the church they were looking at, they're in a pastor's search right now. And I told her, you know, you do church with the people. The pastors come and go, but you're here and you do church with the people. And I think that's what kept me here is the people and the programs. What initially drew me was the singles program at the time.
Mm.
There was a really strong singles group here for young professionals out of college working. And it was a pretty good sized group. And we all got plugged into that and became friends. And then what kept me is I just, you know, the music program and the kids programs, there's definitely things to plug our kids into as they came along. So it just kind of kept up with us through all the stages of our life, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah. That at each stage, there was something really to offer and that helped y'all feel connected, it sounds like.
Right.
Cool.
For sure. I mean, definitely the community the church provided and the community support and then the strong biblical grounded foundation that was inherent and central to all of it. That very much was why we stayed at this church.
Mm, nice.
If I could ask, I wanted to hear from you about those COVID times, you know, like how the church handled Sunday school, you know, using Zoom and other things and
kept us connected, even in Alabama, you know.
Alabama. Yeah, you know, Keith, what's his last name?
Lowry,
thank you. Keith Lowry was really great during that time. He came along with the technology to help us all keep it going remotely. And I think people really needed some kind of connection. And it worked well for you guys in Alabama, too. But the rest of us, nobody could get together. So being able to at least get on Zoom kept everybody meeting together and staying connected and talking about it, and talking about what they were going through. I thought that was really, really important.
I feel like if we had moved 6 months earlier, then we would have plugged in as normal. We would have gotten involved and, you know, just kind
in
of
Alabama.
Church, yeah. Right, in another church. We would have moved as you normally move, you know, and like relocate. But moving in the middle of COVID, You know, and in hindsight now, it feels like God intended that time for us to be temporary and kept us connected through that and really used that time. But yeah, I think about that a lot, about the timing and with everything. Yeah. So yeah, very grateful.
And boy, you know, Zoom just came along at the right.
Yeah.
You gotta wonder what that did to their business model, man. They must have gone through the roof. They made a bundle off of it. But
yes,
it was exactly what people needed at exactly the right time.
Yeah.
So that really worked. What did you guys do in the youth? Because we carried on with adult Sunday school, but what did you guys do?
We did some of the same. We did do Zoom calls through youth Sunday school, just like, you know, and I'm also was a high school teacher and coach for 33 years. So we did the same thing in public school when we're teaching and coaching. And so in terms of, you know, just doing, it was not as, did not have a huge participation and attendance in the youth department because, of course, you know, the social dynamic is obviously limited from a, you know, virtual perspective. So, but we did carry on. We did.
Yeah, see, and I felt like the adults embraced it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did have good participation and engagement from the adults. I think they were missing that connection and really wanted it.
And the kids did too, but, you know, they also, perhaps because they'd already been doing, you know, social media for so long, just they already had a dynamic of that involved, so they didn't necessarily, there were students who did come and who did attend virtually, just the numbers did drop off some.
I am curious, because both of you teach, and I would like to hear a little bit more about that, about how you got into doing it. Because you would do that at work too, right?
I did.
So, and then the class and Sunday school. So yeah, I would just like to hear background.
You want me to go first?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so for me, I was working at Texas Instruments for 29, I guess, years total. Mm-hmm. And a large part of that was meetings, right? And so in a meeting, you put together PowerPoint slides and stand up in front of the room and present it to them. Well, that's really what teaching is all about, is just conveying some information in an easy to understand way. So I got comfortable speaking in front of my peers and adults. And so then that kind of just carried over into church as well. When they needed a sub, I was able to go, yeah, I can do that. I can stand up in front of a room and talk. And then it just kind of stuck. So I ended up teaching my own age. John, you were teaching for a career.
Yeah.
How long?
I did have a family. I came from a family of teachers. My mom and many of my uncles and aunts had all been teachers, and my brother and sister had become teachers. And so I actually tried to not do that initially. I guess like many children of teachers, had various majors when I went to Baylor University, and evolved into getting a history degree because I enjoyed history. So like anything else, if you end up enjoying it, you actually succeed at it to some degree. And so I did, literally by a degree, got my history degree at Baylor. But then now what? Here I am, world. So I did a plethora of odd jobs for a year and a half, 2 years before I decided to go back and get an education certification to end up teaching. For example, I spent a good month, 6 weeks here at this church because we had just moved in 1986 to this location. We had the Reuter organ, which we'd had at our old church, and we decided that the choice was made to move the organ to this church. So I actually helped the Reuter organ people install the pipes and the ranks of pipes up in the pipe organ area, and did that for a while. And later ended up getting a job in El Paso, Texas, working direct sales for a year, selling copiers and fax machines and typewriters for about a year. And through some of that process, I think God was teaching me that, you know, John, you could succeed in this endeavor, but your heart's not in it. And I found that when I was working in sales, that I really enjoyed empowering people. I didn't really care about closing the sale so much. And it's hard to get a really great career in sales if you don't care about closing the sales. You just want to give people the information and share the information so they can make a good decision and things like that. And so And so then I came full circle to thinking, you know, as a teacher, if I can empower others, that's really that's a very positive thing to do. And so in for much of my career, I really felt like that's what I strove to do with all of my students, to try to empower them and give them the tools and information they needed to achieve and succeed. And so that's really where my evolution came from, to be a teacher and a coach.
And then once they knew you taught kids, well, then that was an easy plug-in at church. Well, then come teach the kids Sunday school, same ages.
So y'all were here when the church relocated.
Yes.
So can you talk just a little bit about like that decision and process and anything?
Because I don't came know along at the tail end of it. They had already made the decision, already built this campus. I went to maybe a handful of services, less than 10, like maybe I could count them on one hand, in the old building. And they were in the process of moving just as I was coming along in summer of 86. And then I didn't actually join the church till we got to the new campus. I kind of waited and then just joined here. But you grew up in the old building.
We did. And the church, you know, the church had grown to the point the old building was smaller than we are now. And it was very crowded at that point. And the leaders of the church had made a decision that they really felt like we needed to grow. And there wasn't a lot of space to build over at the old site, which was, you know, across the street from the current Richardson Administration Building at Phillips and Greenville Avenue. And so they decided that, well, this property here at Arapaho and Central came open in the early 1980s. And so the decision was made to buy the property. And then in the early to mid-1980s, that decision was made to build. And so this church, they started building in the mid-1980s and then, you know, officially moved over here after that. And so...
And it wasn't totally agreed upon, was it?
There was some disagreement. Many people didn't, you know, weren't all united about it, that it was felt that it was, we would have been fine staying at the old church, you know, very comfortable, very, you know, and that was close to downtown Richardson and things along those lines. But at the same time, others felt that, you know, we needed to be in a much more, a larger possibility for growing and a more visible location and all of the above. And so the decision was made to move. So
can't miss it, yeah. Right?
Well, that's why we decided to visit the first time, because we were moving from Fort Worth over here. And so we came over to look at houses and got off the interstate right here at Arapaho and saw it as we came around the corner. And we were like, oh, well there's a church to visit. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, well, taking a bit of a turn, what is one thing you each like about the city of Richardson, and whether it is Torchy's, a restaurant, we were just talking about having dinner there, or if it's a place or a person, just one thing that kind of pops in your mind that you like about the city.
I actually had thought of Spring Creek Barbecue.
Yeah.
Because our rehearsal dinner was at Spring Creek Barbecue.
Oh, so nice.
The night before our wedding. And we just end up there a lot. It's just good, solid Texas barbecue, and the potatoes are to die for, so they're good.
Any particular one, like, or all the whole?
You mean any particular restaurant?
Right, like the one that's there here. Are several locations, right?
Yeah, there's one real close to the church. Yeah,
right off of 75.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, just right there at Beltline and 75 is the location we had our rehearsal dinner back in 1991. So, you know, we've typically still go to that particular restaurant. And mm-hmm. So it's been just it's a solid choice. But and there's a lot of other nice, small, iconic restaurants that we have liked in the past. Back in the day, there was a String Bean restaurant, which was actually in Richardson. And I think they've moved technically to the other side of Campbell. So I'm not sure that may or may not still be Richardson. I'm not sure. But anyway, but String Bean was always good. And then honestly, there's some iconic things like Dell's charcoal burgers mm-hmm. in downtown. And then we often will go to the House Cafe. And the House mm-hmm. Cafe just off of Bowser, just in East Arapaho. Nice, very very much a family, little family breakfast, lunch, diner.
It's just a little mom and pop shop.
Yeah, it's a diner. Yeah.
Very nondescript.
Yeah, it's
you
very good.
You wouldn't even notice it
but
if you drove
by. It's solid, outstanding food.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Yeah,
so I'm going to have to check it out.
The House Cafe.
Okay. Good.
A lot of folks from our church go there. Mm-hmm. We see usually somebody every time. Mm-hmm.
We'll have to add that to the list.
but Richardson has been good about trying to change and grow and adapt as things have gone on. I mean, we were talking earlier about how just the change of the Campbell and Central Expressway area and region has changed dynamically. And how I remember back in the day that, you know, where there are now lots of restaurants and other things, there used to be a Luby's, but before that, there was a Kmart. And before Kmart, I remember a Gibson's department store, which I believe Kmart ended up maybe buying them out, and that's why it became a Kmart. But back in the day, there was actually a Gibson's department store and other things. And this whole area has changed dramatically. And
the City Line area is really cool.
Very much so. It's very the lots of the good new developments, like in, you know, the urban living environments that are starting to develop, not just City Line, but, you know, East Side and other things like that, that Richardson has been dynamic about trying to help, you know, and put that together. And of course, Gallatin Parkway and things along those lines.
Well, thank you all for doing this. This has been fun.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to This is Richardson. You can find all of the stories we tell about our community at thisisrichardson.com.